Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Aman and Aman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a blessing to be in the house with you this morning. Anybody like me, anybody just look forward to being amongst the saints? Tell your neighbor it's a blessing to be sharing with you today. I mean, it is. We're sharing together. We're in this together. And that's why the word says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, especially when you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I need other folks that help me be encouraged. You know what I'm saying? Because we all going through something. The only reason why you ain't going through nothing is that you 6 feet under. But as long as you living, you going through what? Something. Something going on. Something happening. And so we are in the right place to deal with the stuff that happens. Hallelujah. And so what we've been talking about these last few weeks, and we really have been on a series, not that it was anticipated to be a series, but there's so much in here, so rich. We find that we can't get through all of it in one setting. I had a great lunch yesterday, but I had to take some with me because I couldn't eat it all. I had to ask for a box. And what? Take some with me because I could not get to all of it. And that's really how the word is. I mean, you can't get through all of it. You got to take some with you. You got to meditate on it. Open that thing back up again and meditate on it. And what we've been talking about, we've been talking about accessing his greatness. The issue here is that we have keys. We have instructions. We have things that we're going to need to be able to know how this all works. You're not saved to just get wet in baptism and, I think I'm going to heaven and that's it. You have a purpose. You have something that you have to do. You have people that he wants you to meet. There are conversations that you need to have. There are places that you need to be. There are things that need to be manifested. Because we've been talking about the kingdom. The kingdom is manifested through us. And we were talking about what does that mean? What does that look like? Because they kept on, Yeshua was explaining the kingdom to the people. And they wanted to understand, well, why is this and why is that? How does this work? And he was like, you're going to understand it. He's been sharing it with them through the sermons. They didn't have like a New Testament to walk around with. They were getting the word as it was what? Being laid down. They had the Torah, the Old Testament. But when we talk about the New Testament, the New Covenant, where Yeshua laid down his life and rose in victory for you and then sent the Holy Ghost, that didn't just happen just to happen. It happened what? For a purpose. And so I don't want to just be at church just to go to church just to do some traditional thing. If this is about tradition, then, you know, I can, you know, have brunch. I don't need to be here if it's about tradition. If it's about religion, I don't need to be here because I'm not religious. I'm not just blindly following something. I want to understand what this is. So I'm not here because of religion. I'm here because of relationship. Come I want to have relationship, and he wants us to have relationship with him. Who's here for relationship? Who's here for tradition? Okay, I'm trying to make sure y'all are paying attention. Tradition is this. Well, my grandmama went, so I'm going to go. No, no. Your grandmama had your relationship. Your grandmama's relationship ain't got nothing to do with you. You got to have your own. Your daddy and your mama's relationship don't have nothing to do with you. You got to have your own relationship. I found that out. They made me go to church. Yes, they did. He right there. He made me go to church. He's like, if you want to be in this house, you best to go. So, of course, you go with a little attitude. Not in front of him. He's... But as a kid, you haven't developed your own what? It wasn't until I got in college and started going through stuff that I needed to find myself. I needed to find my relationship with him. Because it wasn't about daddy and mama no more. I had to stand on my own because mom and daddy not there. It has to be real. It's got to be something that you want. And then when it is, we had a great conversation in Bible study Wednesday. Because a lot of times we're going through the cares of this life. We get distracted. We're going through stuff. And the question was, okay, well, after, you know, he delivers us from all our stuff and all these distractions, what are we supposed to do? Right? Because don't we spend like 90% of our existence just trying to get over stuff? I'm trying not to be mad no more. Right? I got anger issues. I'm trying to get over that. Somebody may have had alcohol issues. Somebody may have drugs. And so once we get delivered from that, the question was, okay, then we were supposed to, what are we supposed to do then? What's left? What's left is the work of the kingdom. He wants to use us. He wants us to be doing stuff. And the stuff that he wants us to do, we can't seem to do it because we're so caught up with the issues. We're so caught up with the issues. Money issues, debt issues, anxiety issues, fear issues, mama issues, daddy issues. Somebody did something to me issues, abuse issues, unforgiveness issues. Alcohol, drug issues, all that stuff. And we got saved not to still deal with that stuff because when we got saved, he delivered us from that stuff and he wants us to know that we've been delivered. Why are you still wrestling with stuff that he already set you free from? But I'm not here to do Wednesday's message. Let's connect it. Because we're talking about now. Apostle just said it. Yahweh wants us to move higher. He said, you've been going around this mountain. 40 years is a long time to go around a mountain. But guess what? Y'all been going around the mountain 40 years. Somebody been going around the mountain. How long you been saved? Shout it out. Shout out how long you been saved. You should know how long you been saved. Shout it out. Now, that's a long time to be saved. Or live. Now, how long did you live saved? Shout it out. Shout it out. Now, did you, and answer this question to yourself, not out in the open, that amount of time that you're supposed to have lived saved, how much you spent time struggling? Say, there you go. So, exactly. But it wasn't designed to work that way. See, a lot of times we just don't know how the thing works. And the only way you're going to know how it works is, hallelujah, being a word ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we understand the word. That we understand this. You can't get this thing by yourself because there's some stuff that you don't understand. You also got to get it. You got to be filled with the Spirit. Because he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to be a teacher. He's going to lead you into all truth. So you, and if you're not operating in these things, then you're going to wander through your salvation lost. He don't want you to do that. So I'm thankful for the people here that, who is kingdom that really wants everything that Yahweh has for them? Where the kingdom people at? That's what we're talking about, the kingdom. And so when we're talking about the kingdom is manifested or described in three different ways. And people have this idea that, oh, it don't matter. It don't matter that it says the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if it said the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter if it just says the kingdom. It absolutely matters. Because he's trying to describe a process to you. And if you don't understand the process, you're not going to get it. It's just like folks that don't like directions. You want to buy something that says assembly required, but then you don't want to look at the directions. You want to act like you know. You know somebody like that? I don't need those. And they start putting it together and there's a bunch of stuff left over. Or if it don't work right, it's like, why didn't you look at the directions? Well, I got that. No, look, what are the directions for, man? If you're going to not follow the directions, you're not going to get it right. Guess what? We got directions. What is our direction? Tell your neighbor the word is the directions. So just to catch two people up who may not have followed us with this really quickly, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Yahweh is actually the nature and character of Yahweh. So when you see it in the Bible where it says the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Yahweh, we use his Hebrew name, Yahweh, the nature and the character of him. How he is, how he responds, how he reacts, his nature, his loving nature, his caring nature, his mercy and grace, his forgiving nature, all those things about him, right? His compassion, all those things of him, the need for holiness and righteousness. That is the kingdom of Yahweh. So that is the nature and character of Yahweh. Anytime you see that, then there is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a geographical location that seats the government of Yahweh. That's where he dwells, he lives. He's everywhere, but that's where his systems are seated, right? How the things work, the things that operate, angels and all these things, the geographical locations that eventually we want to be in that geographic location that seats the government and the systems of Yahweh. But right now we're not there. We're what? Here. But the beauty of here is that he has what is called the kingdom, just the kingdom. And the kingdom is the culture of the kingdom that is of dominion and rule and power that is manifested right here in the earth. So we can experience the kingdom here on earth. Say that, here on earth. So the nature and the character of Yahweh is in us. That's how we want to be. We ultimately want to go to the geographic location, which is the kingdom of heaven. We want to be there, but in the meantime, say in the meantime. Before we get to heaven, the geographical location, we want to experience some essence of the kingdom right here on earth. And so the way it works is, if you can show the diagram that the Holy Spirit gave me. So here we are. That little person down there is you. The kingdom of Yahweh and his nature is radiating from you if you possess the Holy Ghost. If you're believing in faith, if you possess all of his attributes, right? And so if you want to see something happen on earth, you don't just talk to the thing on earth. What you do is you make your request made known to the Father, who is seated in the geographical locations and the systems and the government. And then when you do that, he says, hey, my child believes. They want to see something happen. And so, boom, he allows the manifestation of the kingdom to happen right in front of your eyes, right there. Whatever that situation is, you want change. That person that you want to live, all the things that you're asking and believing and praying for can happen. But you got to pray for it what? Make your request made known what? And then when you do that, believing in faith, you send that up to heaven. And what happens? He sends down the manifestation. And so that way we're experiencing a little heaven on what? Earth. And so what we were following was that Matthew, the 6th chapter, you don't have to turn there. But when it was saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. And it is said, everything else will be what? Added unto us. A lot of times we're seeking stuff. We're seeking things. We're seeking people. But he said, listen, don't worry about that. If you seek me, my nature, my culture, then everything that you need I'm going to supply it. Right? How many of you want him to supply it? Because if he supplies it, he takes care of it. But if you pursue the stuff and you get it and you bypass him, guess who has to take care of it? You have to take care of it. I think it's a better situation when I seek him first. He provides it, and then I don't even have to worry about how to take care of it. He gives me the house, he provides for it. He gives me the car, what? He provides for it. And so this is what we're looking for. Next thing, we looked at Romans, the 14th chapter. You don't have to turn there, but it said, the kingdom of Yahweh is not drink and meat and tangibles. He says the kingdom is within you. Hallelujah. And so when we understood that, we were like, okay. So then the next thing was the kingdom of heaven. And so we talked about how Kepha in Matthew, go to the 16th chapter of Matthew. And he says, Yeshua says to him in the 13th verse, when Yeshua came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I am? And Yeshua answered and said unto him, and it says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the 14th verse says what? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah, some one of the prophets. 15th verse says what? But he said unto him, but who do you say I am? You're walking with me. You're in relationship with me. Yeah, I know other people are saying, but who do you say I am? What have I manifested unto you? What have you seen in me that would allow you to know who do you say I am? And the 16th verse says, and Simon Kepha answered and said, thou art the Messiah. You got to remember, it was prophesied that the Messiah or the Messiah would come, right? And he would lead us into all these things. And so a lot of people around that time, they did not believe that Yeshua was the Messiah. And so Simon Kepha said, I know these dudes out here that are saying you John the Baptist and Elias. That's not who you are. You're attributes of that, but you're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the son of the living God. And the 17th verse says what? And Yeshua answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Yonah. And Bar-Yonah means the son of Yonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you. You didn't know who I was because of flesh and blood, of natural stuff. But my Father, which is what? So you know this by my Father, which is where? In the geographical location, he has revealed this to you. Are you following me? So the kingdom of heaven, Yahweh, which is in the kingdom of heaven, he's shown you this. And the 18th verse says what? And I say also to thee that thou art Kepha. Wait, hold up. So because you know who I am, I'm going to tell you who you are. You're going to find out who you are by my instructions to you. Don't let that pass you by, because he says, after he said, hey, you're the Messiah. You're the son of the living God. And so Yeshua says back to him, so now that you say that, let me tell you, you're Kepha. Point to yourself. Say your name. Guess what? He knows who you are. Come on now. And he's saying you are whatever your name is. And he says, and because you know who I am, it's upon this kind of faith. It's upon this kind of revelation. See, because Yeshua revealed himself to all those disciples. Guess what? He's still revealing himself today. And one day he revealed himself to you, and you say, yay, Father, I know Yeshua, you are my Savior. You died on the cross for my sins. I want to be baptized. I want a new life. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? New life came. Did anybody experience new life? New life. What's significance about new life? It's not the old life. Do you remember? Oh, think about it for a second. Remember old life? Old misery? Old worries, old fear, old righteousness, old mess, old crazy stuff going on. And at some point you got tired of living that kind of life. And you said, I want to live a different way. And guess what? Somebody told you about a new way. They told you about someone that died for your sins. And you said, hey, I want to be delivered from all of this misery that I've been living. And you received him right there. And in that instant, he gave you new life. And you put your faith and trust in him. And so he says, because you know who I am, I'm going to build. It's upon this rock. It's upon this kind of faith. I'm going to build my church. And guess what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Guess what? The gates of hell will try. They will try you. When you leave this place, or you go to work Monday, or whatever you got to do in your worldly situation, the gates of hell are there. The gates of hell are waiting. Maybe you're going home to some kind of situation. Guess what? The gates of hell are waiting. They're trying to do something to you. They're trying to show you something. They're trying to tell you something. They're trying to get you to operate in fear. They're trying to get you crazy. But guess what? If you're in Yahweh, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They will not prevail. So listen, don't trip and get crazy and start acting a fool because the gates are trying to do something. That's what a lot of Christians do. Oh, I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know why I'm going through this. It's the gates of hell. Stop tripping. The gates of hell are trying to distract you. But guess what? You got to say this. Say this. They shall not prevail. Say it. They're going to try. That's his job. This dude does his job well. The devil and his demons, I mean, they are on point. They know how to do it. They know who to use and when to use them. The devil text messages. Late night. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That was a demon text. He uses that, whoever that is, right? Demon emails, demon websites, all of that. But they will not prevail. But this is the thing. You have to have a Holy Ghost response to these things that happen. You have to say, in the name of Yeshua, you will not prevail, enemy. I got the victory. And so this is what it's like. So that's why he's trying to explain all this kingdom stuff. Because he's like, why are you wrestling with all this stuff? You already got power over it. Why are you tripping? I already made you the winner. I already fixed the fight. The fight is fixed in your favor. In your favor. So 19th verse says what? I want to get through all this today because I only have like two. And he says, because of this, he's still talking to Kepha. He's still talking to you. Because you have this faith, because you have relationship with me, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Well, let's go back to the definition of the kingdom of heaven. What is the definition of the kingdom of heaven? It's a geographical location that seats the government of Yahweh, the systems of Yahweh. So if he gives you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that means that you're going to be able to operate the systems. You're going to be able to unlock some blessings, right? You're going to be able to unlock favor. But then sickness is something that don't need to be unlocked. Sickness needs to be locked up. But because he's given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, you have the power to lock up sickness. You have the power to lock up depression. You have the power to lock up anxiety. Come on, y'all. And so he's saying, but you have to have this relationship. You got to know how this thing works so that you'll be able to operate and cause things to happen right here on earth. See, if we get the keys to the systems and the government of Yahweh, we're here on earth, but we're locking and unlocking. What's the verse says? What's the next verse say? No, 19. 19th verse says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall. Do you want something bound on earth? Operate the systems in heaven. Whatever you're going to bind on earth will be what? Bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be what? Who wants to lose prosperity? I'm not a prosperity preacher. Don't get twisted. I'm not talking about, get your Mercedes, get your Mercedes, get your Rolls, get your Bentley. No. But part of prosperity is just peace of mind. Who wants peace of mind? You can't pay for that. But one thing I do want. I want to have the ability and the resources to feed as many poor people as I can. I want to be able to clothe those who need, right? I want to be able, but guess what? It takes what? Resources. I want to be able to dig more wells in Africa. I want to open up more schools. I want to open up a Christian school. These are things I need to do. But guess what it takes to do that? Resources. But if he's giving me keys to the kingdom and my desire is to do kingdom stuff, then yeah, I want him to pour out the windows of heaven. I want him to be able to provide whatever finances and things that I need, not for my house and not for the Bentley. Forget that. Bump that. Miss me with that. I learned that the other day. Miss me with all that. I mean, I don't need that. I want the stuff of Yahweh. I want to be able to open up a home where people that are having problems or trying to transition out of a bad situation can come and stay there. But I know it takes resources to do that because what? The government, the state says I got to buy it. So if I got to buy it, how am I going to be able to buy it? Resources. And if all the kingdom people would start unlocking these doors, you know, that stuff will be ours. He said he would convert the riches of the Gentiles to what? To us. Not for a Bentley. I'm tired of the churches talking about, just name it and claim it. Get your Bentley. Somebody say, miss me with that. Somebody say, I think I want the Bentley. Somebody said that. I don't want the resources for all that craziness. I don't need a three-piece suit. I don't even like wearing this two-piece. I'd rather wear a t-shirt and jeans. That's all I need. But y'all, if I just came up here with t-shirt and jeans every time, you're like, what's wrong with him? He act like he should be dressing better than that. That's what you say. So I gotta put on a monkey suit for you. Because then if I'm wearing the same t-shirt every week, you'll say, well, where's his faith? We got to switch our priorities here. Is it about kingdom or what? Is it about doing the work of Yahweh or what? So until you get to your faith point, I guess I'm going to have to wear this 2 or 3 weeks in the month. But the crazy thing about it is, somebody said this. It looked like he wear the same shoes every week. Somebody said that. They're looking too hard, right? But you act like something's wrong with me. If you're looking at my shoes every week, what's wrong with you? Like I can't buy no shoes. Yeah, I can buy shoes, but I don't buy expensive shoes. I don't like to pay nothing over. They gotta be on sale. I don't buy nothing regular price. It got to be on sale. The markdown. Yes, I go to the markdown. Why you do that? I go to Marshalls and TJ Maxx. And some of you, don't trip. It's more important for me that the church has what the church needs to get over. I don't need all that. So everything that I have was on sale. Okay? Let's get that straight. How do I get there? But we need to use our resources. We get in debt for stuff. You don't need no Mercedes and all that crazy stuff. Just be happy with a Mazda. It's a decent car. And you can be doing some other stuff with your money. You can be helping the poor. You can be feeding the poor every week or doing something, helping a homeless shelter or helping a women's center or helping orphan the children. That's what we're trying to do. But we're so wrapped up in this materialistic kind of situation. And that's not what he's called us to. And so he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall what? Be loosed in heaven. And so we found that out. And so go here to Matthew 13. The 13th chapter of Matthew, as we call it, Matityahu in the Hebrew. And it's the 13th chapter, the 9th verse. And he says this, still speaking of the kingdom. He's saving us for a purpose. He's delivering the message for a purpose. And so he says, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And so he says, and the disciples came and said unto him, because Yeshua would always talk to people in parables. What is a parable? It's word pictures. You're describing an earthly situation or an earthly story with spiritual meaning. And so he asked him, he said, well, the disciples are like, well, why are you talking to them in parables? Why are you talking to them in word pictures? Why are you telling stories that relates to spiritual things? I love this answer. He answered and said unto him, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it's up to you to know how the systems, follow this, it's up to you to know how the systems and the government of Yahweh operates. To them, it's not given. Even if I told them, they wouldn't even get it. But tell your neighbor, it's given to you. You should be in a situation, a church, that stresses the importance of you knowing what it is that you're supposed to do. And everybody wants to, well, tell them your inheritance. Oh, your inheritance. You just need to know as much as you can about the relationship. And when you know how Yahweh operates and you know who Yeshua is and you know all these things, then you start unlocking things, not just to get the things, but because you know who he is. Your first priority is to what? Know him. Say, I got to know him. You got to know him. You got to have relationships. Somebody was asking me the other day, another pastor. Well, how do you choose your mess? How do you decide what to teach on? You know, you just, you know, think up some stuff? Or I'm like, dude. I was like, I have relationship and God, Yahweh, speaks to me and he tells me what he wants me to talk about. Because the way he was talking was like you spin a wheel or something, and if it's faith, you talk about faith. If it land on love, you talk about love. No, the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us into all truth. So what he wants me to talk about is what's relevant for where he wants his church at today. What I'm speaking about, you need this. Because somebody needs to lock some stuff up and somebody needs to lose some stuff. Maybe your neighbor needs to lock some stuff up. But maybe you need to lose some stuff. Free up some stuff. Poverty is something that needs to be
locked down. Peace of mind is something that needs to be unleashed. You can't buy that. That's provided through the Holy Spirit. Listen, we go, when I ask you guys how many years you've been saved and all this other kind of stuff, if you had said 20 years I've been saved, you should have been walking in peace for 20 years. Wait, just because stuff happens doesn't mean that you're not at peace. Follow me. Let me ask these people over here. Just because something happens in your life does not mean you should not be in peace. If somebody gets sick, if something happened, if somebody passed away, you're going to be, oh, God. Well, no. You find your peace and shalom in whatever is thrown at you. Because the enemy wants to shake you. He wants you to curse your body. He wants you to say all kinds of stuff. He wants you to stop attending. He wants to break your faith. Some people have been rendered to shipwreck faith because something happened. But the true believer says, no matter what happens, what shall separate me? What's going to separate me from him and his love? Nothing. You got to say it. Nothing shall separate me. Something happened. People stopped going to church. Why you stop going to church? If it's about relationship, why are you going to let somebody stop you from going to church? Well, I can have relationship outside the church. Really? How's that working for you? Because there's some nuggets when you come to the house. There's some understanding. There's a spiritual unleashing when you come and hook up with people that believe and people that believe the same thing that you're believing and standing in faith. I don't know about y'all, but if I didn't see y'all every week, I'd be lost. I need to know that somebody else is calling on the name of Yeshua. I need that somebody is standing and believing. I need to know that. I need to know that. Y'all encourage me. When I see you going, you something has happened in your life, and yet you are still calling on his name and you're still standing. That lets me know, hey, if he did it for them, he'll do it for me too. Hallelujah. If they can get through it, I can get through it. If they can believe, I can believe. That's what it's about. That's why we come here. I can have church at home. How is that working for you by yourself? It ain't working. It ain't working. You here. Something happened Monday, Tuesday, when you could call one of these believers and say, can you agree with me? Can you see this thing happen? And then we encourage each other. Hallelujah. Because we just need somebody else. He said, well, two or three. Listen, if something happens with you during the week, just get at least one other person. We need that. And so, Matthew 6:13. How did I get there? It's given unto us. Okay, give me a few more minutes, please. Just a couple more minutes. I know it's a lot. But I got to send you out with this. And so we're talking about the kingdom itself being manifested. Matthew, Yahweh, the 6th chapter, 13th verse. And this is what he's saying to us. There are believers or so-called believers. No, they're not believers. They're Christians out there. I don't like to call myself Christian, a Christian, because there's so many people out there calling themselves a Christian. And they're not demonstrating anything Christian. And so other true Christians get a bad rap because everybody wants to like wear that. Like everybody that's wearing a cross around their neck ain't Christian. I'm serious. Just because you wear a big old giant gold cross, yeah, you know, I believe in God. That's not what it's about. Your jewelry don't demonstrate the kingdom. You demonstrate the kingdom. Your life. And so it says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. I need you, I need kingdom believing people to pray for the right stuff they need to be praying for. Not praying to be religious. Oh, Father God, in all of your infinite wisdom, gaze upon us and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, what was that? What was the... And that prayer is the same prayer they pray all the time. I have understood Mass. I actually went to a Mass when I was in school for a musical thing. And the Mass is just them repeating the same stuff, what? Over and over again. And this was before that time. But he's saying, if you're a true believer, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Do the heathen pray? Yeah. Anybody know any? Let me stop. But he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So they're going to say all these big flowery words and say some stuff, but it don't mean nothing. They're not asking for nothing. They don't have any specificity. It's just a bunch of nonsense. Fluffing up stuff because they like the sound of their voice. When you pray, your prayer needs to mean something. Your prayer needs to be honest. Your prayer needs to be sincere. And the 8th verse says what? But be ye therefore like, be not ye therefore like. Don't be like them. He says, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask him. He already knows. And the 8th verse says, 8th verse says what? 9th verse, I'm sorry. So after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He was instructing us on the dynamic of prayer. And he says, say this, our Father. And not directly these words, but what you're saying is you understand how the dynamic of praying works. You're recalling to the Father, where is he? So he's seated in the kingdom of heaven, right? And he says, our Father, I know where you are, Father. And I'm believing and I'm praying to you. And I want to say, hallowed. To be reverenced. To be honored. To be worshiped. Be your Oh, so if you really are sincere about prayer, you really need to know who you're praying to and who the name of the God is that you're praying to. Guess what? Everybody up in here, we already know who his name is. We know. We know where he's seated and we know his name. And the 10th verse says what? Thy kingdom. What is he saying? I want to see the things that you say we are entitled to here on earth. I want to see the manifest. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your glory. I want to see you change stuff. I want to see you transform stuff. I want to see you flip a situation. I want you to turn sickness into healing. I want you to turn despair into joy. Thy kingdom come. And it's the things that you said, so your will be done. I don't have to wait until I go to heaven. It can happen right here on earth. Somebody say, on earth. There's some stuff that you need to call out and believe him for right here. He's given you his name. You know who he is. You know where he's seated. And the same, whatever it is that you want manifested on earth, he says, let it be done in earth as it what? And this is what faith is. Faith is understanding that what's already been unlocked and promised to you in heaven, he's going to manifest it right here on earth. But guess what? I don't have to wait for the earth manifestation. I can thank him now because I know it's already done in heaven. Say that again. It's already done in heaven. And the 11th verse says this. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeshua, the word, daily. He's my provider daily. Because some of y'all eat more than bread. So it's not just, it's everything that you need. He is our daily bread. He is our provider. And even the word itself. You should be up in the word is the bread. The word is life. You should be up in that. Give us. Meaning, I can't survive. I can't go another day without your word, Father. I need your word every day. I need to be able to meditate on your word. Not once a week or twice a week, but I need it every day. Who needs his daily bread every day? I need it every day. Not just today, but every day. 12th verse, and I'm going to finish 12 and 13. I'll let you go. Forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. And the Lester says, lead us not into temptation. I trust you. I know you're not going to lead me into no crazy places. But deliver us from evil. Because you are the deliverer. You are the changer. You are the one that sets us free. And it says, for thine is the kingdom. And the power. And the glory forever. How long?
Forever.
You, how long?
Forever.
So you should be dwelling in the kingdom forever. Not, you don't have to wait till you go to heaven. His is a kingdom now. Right here. And guess what? It says the power. He's given us power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the... Is anybody operating in that power right now? We got a few more things that we need to talk about to totally unleash this thing. Because we're living in this time where all of the believers need to pull out all the stops. He's looking for some believers that's like, no, you gave us keys, we gonna use every key. You gave us power, we gonna use all the power. You gave us authority, we gonna use all the authority. Do we got anybody that's gonna use all the tools of the kingdom? Not tomorrow, but right now. Hallelujah. Right now. Somebody say, right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Father Yahweh, we thank you, praise you, honor you for your kingdom. Our desire is not to get caught up in all of the cares and worries of the world. That's not how you've designed it. We've already overcome. But what you want us to do is to be those living examples of what your kingdom brings, of what your kingdom does. There's somebody out there that needs to see that we have peace of mind. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to see that we have joy. Somebody needs to see that we were living an old life and we're living a totally brand new life. Somebody needs to see that. Somebody needs to know that maybe we were once sick, but through your power, you healed us. Somebody needs to see that you have the power to heal, that you have the power to keep us, that you have the power to take care of us, that you have the power to keep us in perfect peace and perfect shalom. Somebody needs to see that. And as people see the victory in our lives, more and more people are added to your kingdom. And somebody out there needs victory. Somebody out there needs deliverance. Somebody out there needs salvation. Somebody out there needs truth, and our desire is that you use us for that, Father Yahweh. Let us have the conversations. Let us be in the places at the right time for us to be able to deliver your name, your gospel, and your salvation. so they can obtain freedom just as we have. So we thank you for that. We praise you for that, Father. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. And amen. If you can give me a moment, just be seated and bow your head. If you're a believer.